The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, fellas.
You know what I was just noticing as we were listening to that intro? Does the sound of an impact sprinkler at the top of our intro, it gives me a calming effect. Do either any of you react to that?
No.
Not in the same manner, no.
No.
Okay, please continue.
had a kind of weird weather this week.
Well, I told you. Oh, you weren't here last week.
No.
And so I read the forecast from the National Weather Service from 1 week ago yesterday that said it depends on where the low goes, what the high temperatures are going to be, what the winds are going to be, and what the precipitation will be.
So, in other words, they don't know. Exactly.
They did not know.
Or and they said, your guess is as good as ours.
Well, right. No, they said, it depends on where the low goes, what's going to happen with the weather. Yes, what we were hoping you would suggest to us where it might go.
Yeah, I mean,
it was very interesting. It was very cool this morning. And you had, well, you guys in the North County had nice thunderstorms.
I didn't.
We had this front that came in that just blackened the sky over like a 20, 30-minute period, and then some significant winds and then a bit of rain.
Yeah, it was last night when we walked from our house down to the restaurant, and it was black. I mean, looking at the radar on my phone, it looked like it was over Escondido, even down as far as Black Mountain. It was dark. I mean, it was really, really dark.
Yeah, at some point our house was in that. It just got dark very quickly.
Yeah.
So on Friday, I was at work in Poway, and the hail was in El Cajon, or my direction. And then yesterday, I was in Poway, and I go home, and all the weather was in north, up in the north. I don't like it.
It's avoiding you?
Avoiding me like yeah, exactly. that. Yeah.
Well, at some point in time, I imagine I'm going to have to turn my sprinklers back on again. But
I doubt it. Not at your house.
I have not had my sprinklers on since December.
Apparently, I have my sprinklers still on.
You have your water running somewhere, but
I can't find it.
That's what you said.
I walked around everywhere yesterday. I took a shovel and the day before, and I went around all of the standpipes. There is no moisture in the soil.
We know why you're doing that, but that was kind of vague for our listeners. When he says apparently your sprinklers are on, no one knows why he said that. What's going on?
Because my meter's running.
Okay.
Even when everything's off, everything isn't off. And last month when I was aware of that, because I get a robocall from the Otay Water District saying, we think you have a leak. I found a valve that was leaking, and I turned it off. I thought, oh, great. And boy, the bill this month was It was like my summer July or August.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot of water somewhere.
But it's hard to tell because of all the weather we've had. Sure.
I can't find it.
Right. You're going to have to wait until the weather dries out and your yard turns brown again, except for
except
the
that one spot. Yeah. Spot.
You know what? But at this, at an extra $500 a month, I think I've been, the radio has been speaking to me, and so has the TV. I've been seeing commercials these last couple of days for CPL.
Yeah.
Cable pipe and leak detection.
They actually came out to our house when we had a leak underneath our slab.
Now, did you know it was there?
I knew the leak was there. It was apparent that there was a leak, and then they came out and did a good job in isolating where it was exactly.
Well, it was about a year ago I had that same problem, and instead of having them come out and do it, I just repiped the house. But this time, I'm going to have to pay somebody to come out and do something.
Apparently, it's not in the house.
If you no, it's not. Right, it's, right. Well, yeah, I haven't found it. I walk barefoot in the house all the time. And that's one of my water detection tests.
Exactly.
Just to make sure there's no water. If my feet get wet, then I know I have a problem.
You've got an issue.
Yeah.
Well,
or trees growing in the living room.
I have issues. Most of the trees are on the outside. But we should have a decent weather week. And we'll see what happens today. There's some wraparound moisture that might be coming our way. But mostly in the mountains, I think they're going to get a little more snow.
Well, I
more snow?
As much as I, you know, like to be outside working in the yard, the occasional rain is very helpful and useful. It keeps my water bill a little lower, David. How about you?
Oh, it's awful. And I went and I turned off the house water to make sure there wasn't somewhere in the house, and I can usually hear that going through the pipe, but oh well.
Is what it is.
It is, and I will hire some. I will call cable pipe and leak detection and have them help me.
Find it.
Well, according to the weather app, Poway is, they're saying 0 inches in the last 24 hours. And no rain expected in the next 10 days.
Well, good. I went with that when I put out my chicken food. I put it out in the coop expecting no rain, because if it rains, it ruins the food and I have to dump it out. So,
Well, we'll see, because that's what it said on Monday, too.
I know.
That's right. Didn't you say that you saw no rain for 10 days?
Yeah, and Monday. Then, okay. Yeah, when I was talking to Chuck about it.
Yeah.
That's what I figured.
That was caught on in the microphone too.
Let's see, we have classes today in San Diego. It's going to be herbs with Kathleen at 9 o'clock, and in Poway it's going to be healthy soil, healthy plants, and there's something else to that.
Inorganic soil
with Randy Ritchie from Malibu Compost.
Correct, CEO.
Yeah, yep. So if you show up to that class at 9:30, you might actually get to see him eat it too.
No, he and I chatted.
He will not eat it. That was one of his reps.
Ate
it for him, I guess. Yeah,
he has attained status that requires him not that does not require him to eat his material,
his compost.
Yeah, he's pretty excited. He chatted with me last evening about some of the setup, and he's excited about this class.
Yeah, he's posted quite a bit about it. So yep. Yeah,
should be good.
Yeah, should be a very good class. Let's see, in Balboa Park, it's the Ikebana Spring Show today and tomorrow at the Casa del Prado. That's a style of Japanese flower arranging.
Typically, hope you pronounced that correctly.
I hope I did too. Typically, almost a minimalist kind of look to it.
Well, a lot of the Japanese stuff is that way.
Yeah. And then coming up in April, which seems late, is the 19th through the 21st, is the San Diego County Orchid Society, their big orchid show. They've moved it out of Mission Valley. It's in Balboa Park now.
It used to be like this weekend.
Yeah, used to be in March.
Right.
But it's April 19th through the 21st now in Balboa Park. And did they tear the Scottish Rite Center down yet? But I thought that's what was going to happen.
I think it is a lot. I think it's raised?
I wonder where the Masons moved to. That was a big building.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Used to be a bowling alley when it was originally built.
I did not know that.
Yeah. It was called Bolero.
Wow.
I remember my dad telling me about it. And I've seen pictures of it from back in the, I think it was built in the 50s. But yeah, it was a huge bowling alley at one time. Let's see. What else have we got going on? I think that's it. you know, the roses are just going...
C'est magnifique, monsieur.
Just going crazy right now. But with the new growth going on them, keep an eye on them. Watch out for rust. Watch out for mildew.
Black spot.
And if you see that starting to form, spray them and try to get ahead of it. It's much easier to do that than to try to reverse a bad infestation.
I'm chuckling here because your app said there would be no rain for the next 10 days. And yesterday, before I went to work, Capri said, hey, one of our roses looks like it has something on it. So I went out and looked. It looked like black spot. And so she said, if you give me what we need to spray, I'll do it today. So she sprayed that rose and some of the surrounding roses with a fungicide.
Mm-hmm.
And then it rained last night. I don't know how effective it was.
Yeah, I don't know.
But we just like you said, watch it, get ahead of it. We tried, but we weren't supposed to have that rain last night.
No. Yeah. Well, at least you didn't spray it with weed killer.
We read the label apparently.
You don't just go by the color of the bottle.
not by the color of the bottle.
Yeah.
Because we're smart.
Yeah.
And we're experts.
Don't try this at home.
But yeah, they're all coming into full bloom right now.
They look great.
And Melanie was last week. We were talking about it. One of the first roses to bloom every year is ginger snap.
Almost
like clockwork.
It's a great, great burnt orange.
It's a pretty
orange color.
I think it's a beautiful rose. Melanie doesn't like it. She's not a fan of that one.
So, taste could be subjective in.
Different people can have different opinions on.
Well, no. Let's not get
go
crazy here.
She and I actually, Melanie and I, had a discussion about some of the roses out there, which ones we liked and which we didn't, and we both agreed passionately about not liking the Honey Dijon.
I'm okay
rose.
With that.
Yeah,
me too.
Because it's not, you think of honey, you go, that's kind of a neat color, but I said, it's not really the honey. It's like the stuff that's stuck on the lid when you take the honey off. I mean, when you take the mustard jar off, it looks like that color mustard, the stuff that's dry and
but it's,
not good.
It's unique.
It's different. Yeah, it is different.
And
I'll
some people embrace that sort of thing.
What's the other?
Yeah, people like you.
What's the other one? Is it ketchup and mustard?
Yes.
Yeah. That's actually nice.
How about beets, Ken?
And your wife likes... that one, by the way.
Yeah.
So if you want to get her a gift, you can get her that one.
Get her that one.
Okay, before we go away and then have to get serious, Mark's team didn't lose the basketball game last night.
Right.
Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
The Aztecs did not choke under pressure.
Nice run.
Well, they were choking under pressure, but they managed to reverse that.
We were down 17 and then turned it around.
It's a two-half game, Ken.
I know.
So
I only saw part of the first half.
Only the last 2 or 3 minutes matter.
Yeah, that's true. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I am Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. You know, the other thing that the rains have brought a lot of is the wildflowers are starting to bloom all over the place. And so you mentioned yesterday the ceanothus. Some areas are just solid blue. Where it's blooming.
Mike Martin called me a couple of days ago, and he has a client out in Hamul, so he was driving past my place, and he said, have you noticed the... He didn't know it was my place, but he said, have you noticed the ceanothus blooming out in East County? And he was telling me it was at the base of San Miguel. I'm like, yes. Yeah. I see it every day. And the sun coming off of the blue flowers is just
incredible looking. It's pretty. And you know, and all the flowers that you see on this, the yellow and orange flowers that you see on the side of the freeway, it's not California poppies.
Dimorphophica, yes,
I think that's it.
Yeah, it's actually a daisy.
Yes,
But it does look very similar to a California poppy.
Well, yeah. When you're expecting that orange color to be a poppy, and you're driving by it somewhere between 60 and 80 miles an hour, it probably looks like a It does. It looks like a poppy until you pay attention and see it's a daisy.
Yeah,
a dimorphophica.
Yeah. Which we do sell the seed for.
Think so if you want. Is it?
It's a dimora.
I'll look that up in a moment.
Thank you.
But apparently the California poppies are going to be, if they're not already blooming, are going to be pretty good this year. And they said that the bloom in the desert is going to be one of the best in years.
I've heard it's happening now.
Yeah.
It's probably starting to warm up there. It's going to probably start waning pretty quickly.
Yeah. I can't imagine that it's going to last too long. We went up there. We went up to Borrego. Oh, God, I guess it's about it was pre-pandemic, I guess. So it was five years ago, I guess, when we went up there for the bloom. And we actually went up for a couple days and stayed in Borrego. But the other thing that comes out when it's blooming like that are the caterpillars. And I don't know what they morph into, but they're huge. I mean, they're almost the size of your little finger, and they're crawling all over the place.
I apologize, but when you start talking about going to Borrego, all I can think about, I think this was that trip, you couldn't get grapefruit juice, even though there was a grapefruit tree right behind you.
That's right.
Is that the trip?
That was the trip, yeah. It was either that trip or the trip before. we were sitting in the bar at the Borrego Springs Resort, and Melanie ordered some. She ordered some cocktail that was supposed to be garnished with grapefruit, and the bartender said, "Oh, I'm sorry, we don't have any grapefruit." And literally, outside the window of the bar was a 20-foot tall grapefruit tree loaded with grapefruit. So,
I don't know what kind of I don't know what kind of caterpillars they are either. But I've seen some pictures of the lilies and some of the other flowers that are blooming out in the desert, and they look fantastic.
The desert lily is that's a neat plant.
Yes,
it's a really neat looking plant. It has that kind of convoluted foliage to it, and then the big white flower that blooms on it. I'm surprised that that's not available as a native plant selection or as in a cactus and succulent.
It's
selection.
Such a brief bloom. You get the
the
foliage that comes up, and then it blooms, and boom, it's done. Which I guess is what you could say about almost all bulbs.
But just about.
And this one you could just leave in the ground and enjoy it and let it come back year after year. You know what? I do not know why. How's that?
Fair enough.
What are you going
to
say?
Well, I was going to go back to the daisy since we...
Oh, you have the proper spelling now?
It is dimorphotheca. But what's interesting is when we have customers come in, they often ask, what are those freeway daisies, which... I guess technically for most people would be the osteospermum, right? The other African daisy.
Right. Well, it used to be.
Right.
But you don't see that osteospermum on the freeways much at all anymore.
But we do see the
dimorphotheca.
Theca.
Should have just let me slur it out the way I did before.
Yeah.
But
they naturalize.
They do.
They do very well. I was going to say probably because it's from South Africa, so it has our very similar climate. Sorry.
No problem.
You mean I'm supposed to apologize when I interrupt him each time? Thank you for...
In a polite society, yes, sir.
Curtis.
Social convention dictates, David.
One of the other things I saw blooming as I was walking through the store yesterday, we've got some really nice lilacs in stock. They unfortunately, even though they are bred to do well in this climate, they don't do as well in this climate as regular lilacs do in their
regular
lilac climate.
Agreed. Yeah.
Right. They bloom. They bloom and they look nice. But it's a relatively short bloom.
And you're talking about the hybrid French hybrid lilacs that
or the Descansos,
pretty smelling ones.
Yeah.
No, and the Ceanothus they call the California lilac.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
No relation scent wise, but pretty flowers.
Yeah. Or genus wise. They're not even close.
Not even in the ballpark.
Not even close. Right. It's amazing how many varieties of Ceanothus are out there. You could get them everything from
trees.
From a tree to a ground cover. And then there's the one that I can't remember the name, the variety of it. It has a little tiny foliage on it.
I think that is Herstorium.
Whatever it is, it's a neat looking
tiny leaves. And is that the flat one with tiny leaves?
There's an upright one. The one I saw was the upright one, which probably would make a nice bonsai. Worked on it.
I wonder if he still listens.
I don't know.
Find out.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go to the phones. We're going to talk to John from the Botanical Garden. Good morning, John.
Uh-oh, what'd we do?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. What's going on?
Good. Well, I just wanted to call to pump up attendance for our upcoming citrus class. And by the way, George, I sent you a list. So
thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Yes. Hey, you're welcome. And it is one of my favorite classes to give because, in my opinion, there isn't any kind of fruit that's more rewarding than citrus when they're grown well. And I know that we have severe challenges in the citrus industry and all, but there's nothing like tree-ripened fruit from citrus.
I would not disagree with you on that.
I would not disagree with you on that.
I think you are right.
George, would you not disagree?
I would not disagree, and that's one of the reasons I think many of us like our growing here in California, because we do have that fruit available to us in the winter when everything else, the rest of the country is kind of at a lull.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I was a fan of a great Southern humorist named Louis Grizzard. I don't know if any of you are familiar with him, but he was doing a Larry King interview once. And, the two of them were rather infamous for having multiple divorces. I think Larry King had had 8, and I think Louis Grizzard had been on his 3rd or perhaps 4th. And he is dialoguing with Larry King, and Larry says, "Well, Louis, I hear that you've had a breakup and that now you have another divorce." And he said, "Well, Larry, I think next time what I'm going to do is just go out, find a woman I hate, and give her a house." And so,
how did we get from citrus to that?
Well, because I have had a relationship breakup, unfortunately. But there is the most amazing, amazing orchard in this former home, which I used to occupy. Oh, goodness, I'll tell you what. I only rabbit trail ever so slightly. And then we come back to the main subject, and that is that Walter Anderson Nursery brings in the most amazing sleeves and sometimes test tubes of very rare, very good citrus. And I want to say to folks that in the former...
I gotcha.
The home... It has the most amazing Newhall oranges, Shasta, David, the famous botanist. David Fairchild tangerine mandarin. There is what was my favorite one? Oh, see, the mind is the first thing to go on all these things. But they were so different. And this is one thing I want to encourage people to do, to not just get a Washington navel orange, because I had an Atwood navel. I had a Newhall navel. I had many very delicious ones from Australia. They are all different. You know, a Caracara, I used to have very good fruit on a Caracara until May. And so one can expand the quality of the fruit, the bloom time and harvest of the fruit, and also the flavor profiles, because every one of those, I guarantee you, in a blind taste test, you would taste the difference. And so when you all get in, and I bought a sumo. Oh my goodness, what else did I have? That's just so sad and tragic. Oh, a Valentine. Valentine pomelo is to me one of the absolute high points in citrus.
Now, I think David has one of those, right? David?
I do, and yeah, I agree.
He brings that in periodically, and I agree with you, John. That is a delicious piece of fruit.
By the way, around that Valentine pomelo is not where my water leak is. I can tell from I looked at that tree yesterday.
So I know last week's show I was listening and hearing about, and thanks for the note, George. I may have to come in and get some. But in anticipation of our magnificent, informative, helpful citrus class, I would love for people to come and empty your shelves because I appreciate so much the work that you all do to bring in high-quality, very rare, unusual items. And so this is just my plug for the nursery. I have no dog in this fight except for to just say you guys do a magnificent job. And go buy really cool citrus while they're available.
Hey John, before you sign off, you'd mentioned that you're teaching a class, but you didn't. I know the date, but you didn't give a date.
Oh goodness, it's in April, and give the date, would you, George?
Because you may not remember. No, April 27th.
No, it's on my calendar.
April 27th, the last Saturday in April at 9:30 in Poway.
That's correct. Thank
you. Good.
Now, in preparation for that class, we have some magnificent sleeve pots of citrus in the store right now. The ones that are there now will not be there for your magnificent class in April, but we'll try and get some more. As a matter of fact, the back of my car right now is a fruiting Eustace Limequat that last week on the radio I promised Mark Mahady I would bring, and I did not forget.
Very nice.
Wow, that's a very good one, too.
I want you all to be very proud of me.
Well, John, I know you're probably missing your citrus, and you know where I live. You've been there, so feel free to swing by and lend a hand on ours. We'd love it.
Well, thank you. That's a very gracious offer.
And there's coffee if you're there in the morning, and there's wine if you come later in the day.
Oh, my goodness. I might come for coffee and stay for wine.
There you go.
Perfect.
There you go.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, John.
Thanks John.
For calling. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Take care. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Milkweed is starting to come in, so that means monarchs are going to start to come around shortly, I would think. I had a customer come in the other day, brought in a small branch of his milkweed that was completely covered with aphids. Completely covered,
yep.
Which they are
prone
to do.
Those are the cute little orangey oleander aphids.
Yeah. And he wanted to know what he could spray on them to get rid of the aphids. And I said, well, it kind of depends on what you want to do. I said, if you want to grow the milkweed, just to grow milkweed, I said you can spray just about anything on them and it'll take care of the aphids. But if you spray the aphids, whatever you spray the aphids with is probably going to kill any monarchs. So if you're growing the milkweed for monarchs, you don't want to spray anything.
Tolerate the aphids.
You tolerate the aphids. He said, well, how do I get rid of them? I said, well,
water.
Well, the question would be why.
But yeah, that's
I mean, why do you need to get rid of them?
You don't need to get rid of them. I mean, yes, they're a nuisance, but
I tell some folks if it's really plaguing you, take a damp paper towel, just scoop right around it and pull them off, and you'll get most of them
How about
off.
Just
yeah.
yeah, with the hose.
Well, you just have to be cautious knocking off
the caterpillars,
the eggs underneath. If you're using too forceful a jet stream.
Just how about tweezers?
Just leave it alone.
Or that's
the easiest way to do it is just leave it alone.
I actually agree with you. Yeah. This time,
because it doesn't matter what you do,
they're going to come back.
They're going to come back, and if any chemical that you put on them is going to kill the monarchs.
And it also tells you that your milkweed
is pesticide free. Exactly.
Right. That's how I have that's the conversation I have when people say, "Well, I'm not taking this home. It's covered in aphids." I'm like, "Well, we know it's not."
Been
covered
in
pesticides,
yeah.
So your monarchs are going to grow. And secondly, aphids are very plant specific, so those are not going to jump over to your tomatoes. They're not going to jump to your roses. Those are going to be very happy right where they are. So
yeah, they don't move around too much. But we do anyway. So regardless of the fact that they had aphids on them, we do have tropical milkweed and the native milkweed in stock now, at least in quarts.
Yeah, I saw both.
You know,
yesterday.
The native milkweed doesn't seem to be as prone to aphids as the tropical one. It gets aphids, but it typically does not have the infestation that the other ones do.
And typically, but it's also a smaller plant when it comes in. It doesn't seem to grow as quickly.
Yeah, although I don't know that I've noticed as many monarchs hanging around on native milkweed as they do on the tropical.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, which maybe if there wasn't the tropical, they would hang out more on the natives. But anyway,
it's the same matters of taste.
Right.
Monarchs,
correct.
Monarchs have it too.
Could be.
Did you notice when you were walking around the nursery the black arums?
You mentioned
really
that.
Really neat looking.
What's an arum?
Calla lily.
I know. But probably people out there may not know.
You know what, George? That's a really good question because there are some people who probably don't know
this.
Yeah,
so I'm just curious
what Calla
that might
family.
Be. Calla. Okay, so
and
Calla
so it looks like a Calla.
Right.
Actually, wouldn't it be the Arum family and a Calla as part of that?
Yes.
Did I say the Calla family?
You did.
Yeah.
Well, it's a... Yes, thank you for...
Correcting
is that,
me
is
on
that,
the
is
air.
That what I sound like when I do this to
oh,
you
absolutely.
Guys?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Without a doubt.
Oh, man. Yeah. I apologize.
So back to Arum.
Anyway,
is what?
it's a beautiful black one, and it has a big, what is the cylinder in the center? Is it it's not a stamen, is it on a calla? What's the big yellow thing in a calla?
Yeah, that's a stamen.
Okay,
the outside is a spath.
On this Arum, that is black, and the flower color itself is dark burgundy. It looks black as it's unfurling. But I think we got about a dozen of them in. And there was a bulb that we got in at the same time. This is at the Walter Anderson Nursery in Poway. And it is the, now I'm drawing a total blank on it.
Bulb,
just go on.
Bulb.
I'll get you, no, keep talking while
I
get
you the
name.
Well, you know, you mentioned bulbs, and we have I think I've shared this before, we have an herb garden outside our front door as you come up the walkway. And in addition to just having herbs, oregano and chives and some thyme and other things in there, we have placed a large number of bulbs in there that pop up and give a lot of color to the otherwise kind of just plain green.
Did you put any Velthemia in there?
I did not put any Velthemia in there.
Kind of a...
Is that what you were thinking
a succulent,
of?
That is what I was thinking of. A succulent green leaf and a spike that comes up with flowers on it, tubular pinkish flowers that kind of look like a Nymphophia.
Hmm.
And
I have to stop you. Go ahead. What is it?
Red Hot Poker.
Okay. Thank you.
Gosh, you know, when people come in and say Red Hot Poker, you say, well, that could be this, 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 and this, and we need the botanical name. And now
correct.
I say the botanical name, and you say,
but
well,
you
that could
say
be.
Say only the botanical, because we do have a lot of people that listen that don't know what those are.
So. The Red Hot Poker, Nymphophia, exclamation point. Anyway, they're tubular flowers that attract... hummingbirds, and they do very well here, and they go through a cycle, and now is their blooming cycle before they die down in the summer and come back up next year.
I'm not familiar with that.
Yes, you
I probably would be. I'm drawing a blank trying to picture it right now.
You totally are, but aware of it. But
okay.
Now, Ken, earlier in one of the breaks, you had mentioned Proteas, that we had a lot of Proteas.
Mm-hmm.
And that just reminded me when David was talking about attracting hummingbirds after John's class, actually prior to John's class on the Proteaceae a while back, we had purchased four or five different Proteas to bring home. One of them is a Grevillea, mm-hmm. low-growing one. And that is still sitting in a pot as we move it around trying to decide where we actually want it. But hummingbirds are constantly going to that Grevillea, just in the middle. Wherever we move it, they're still going to it. It's very, very popular amongst the hummingbirds.
Yeah, we've got a very nice selection of Grevilleas. Most of them are the upright ones. And a lot of Proteas still, too.
And Banksias. Right.
As a matter of fact, as you walk out the roll-up door towards the bedding section, there's a Banksia. There's a five-gallon Banksia there that's in bloom. And it's probably got at least half a dozen flowers on it, but it's a smaller Banksia.
There's some Grevilleas there too.
It's a neat looking plant.
I think the Grevillea family is my favorite native plant. If can I call
that makes
it
sense.
That,
yeah, fair.
Yeah,
there's so much diversity in the sizes, and we were talking about the ceanothus. You can get it in any size, shape, and color. The same applies now for the Grevilleas. Yeah. You can have ground
covers. There's all kinds of them.
Up to trees, enormous trees.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the hummingbirds love them. The bees love them. And they are so tolerant of our conditions and very little water here once they're established.
And it's one of the few things from Australia that won't kill you.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That is a bonus.
Yes, it can be. I don't know where Brian found them, but those 24-inch box Michelleas that we got in are insane. They're absolutely stunning.
They're Michellia champacas,
mm-hmm.
They were in 24-inch boxes, and they were probably about 8 feet tall and 4 feet wide, and
at least.
Solid.
Yeah,
solid with leaves from 8 feet down to the ground and the entire width. They're gorgeous.
It's really, really pretty. Really pretty tree.
I'm not going to say the Chanel flower because that's wrong.
It's
correct.
Yeah. It's the flower, the fragrant flower for, come on, George.
It's often called a Himalaya something too, and I can't remember what it is.
All right.
I'll have to look that up for us on the break.
It is one of the most fragrant flowering trees that you can find.
They're small, inconspicuous flowers, right. And they're hidden amongst mm-hmm. the foliage. But when they're blooming,
when they're in bloom, you can smell them
a block away.
Yeah, yep. It's really strong. Somebody around the corner from me has one planted in their front yard. I'll have to take a look today when I'm driving through the neighborhood and see if it's still there.
Which one did we get? The
Champaca. I think those were champacas. I don't think they were albas, but I'm not sure of that. It's either champaca or champaca alba.
It's not the Himalayan champaca? Is that what that's one of the common
names?
I would just call it
fragrant Michellia.
It's also called fragrant Michellia.
Yeah.
Joy. It's the base of joy.
That's right. You messed this up last time.
I did. But
and
this yes, time I remembered and I didn't mess it
that's
up.
That's right. Well done.
Thank you.
Right. Thanks, I guess it was probably, what was it, like 30, 35 years ago, San Gabriel Nursery had one.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And it was $2,000, and you had to go get it.
Right.
They would not deliver. Even though they deliver to us every week, they would not deliver it. Well, we didn't buy it.
Right.
$2,000. And $2,000 back then was
a lot more than
$2,000 is today. Right. But they were the only ones that had it for a long, long time. And then,
so true.
Then
yes.
All of a sudden, it was just everywhere.
Well, Monrovia got on the bag
yeah.
wagon.
Yeah.
They started grafting them.
Yeah. And that was when they really started to take off. It's a beautiful tree, too. Just really, really,
really
pretty.
Is, yes.
Really pretty tree. Almost kind of looks like an avocado.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
it does.
During the cool season, through winter, it doesn't look as good. The leaves will have a tendency to begin to yellow. But during the summer and fall, and kind of the spring, they are really neat and lush looking, and they do fine in most areas of the county.
Yeah. Very tropical looking.
Yeah. A neat tree. So check. I think you have some in San Diego too. I think they have a few down there. We'll have to. But I know we have them in Poway. So if you stop in and take a look, you can see them there. It's gorgeous. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. I was walking through the shade house at the store yesterday and spotted something I hadn't seen before. It was an espaliered camellia sasanqua variety fairy blush. It's a little teeny
pink,
flower.
Pink flower?
Yeah, a little teeny pink flower, about the size of a 50-cent piece.
Yeah.
But just a really pretty light pink single flower. It's a really neat looking plant.
Yeah. I have to pay more attention. I don't think I've seen an espaliered camellia.
Yeah, there's a couple of them. There's a couple of them out there. Yeah.
I know you're looking at me like, how do you say it?
That is exactly how I am looking at you.
You always look at me that way, so it's hard for me to discern.
This is for a different reason.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember seeing them.
And then out in the front of the store, kind of over by on the right hand side as you walk up to the entrance, we had some coral bells azaleas, which is a really neat plant. It's a Kurume variety of azalea, little teeny flower.
Yeah.
But just a gorgeous plant, and we don't have those very often.
That was Ronnie Madruga's favorite, wasn't it? Or was it somebody else there?
No, it was
Ronnie's.
Yeah.
The other one that I think is, which I haven't seen in a long time, another Kurume azalea, but Ward's Ruby.
Oh, yeah.
Deep red.
Deep red.
Yeah.
Just a stunning, stunning little plant.
I am a fan of the Kurumes when they bloom. They're such a profusion of...
They're solid.
The daintier flower is really neat on those.
Yeah, it really is. It's not something that we get in all the time.
No.
So we got some nice ones now.
As so many of the growers become less and less specialized, what we would consider the neater things like Kurume azaleas go by the wayside.
Disappearing.
You don't find them.
No.
Because you can't sell 10,000 of those. You can sell 100 of them.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to, air quotes, waste their time on such a thing.
That is true. We're going to go to the phones. We're going to go to Pacific Beach where Bruce is waiting. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Good show as always.
Thank you.
A question. I've always taken your advice about tomatoes. I live on the coast. What other variety other than Celebrity is a good tomato?
How can you take away our go-to answer for coastal tomatoes and then say what else? Because I was looking at Mark. I know we're going to say Celebrity and talk about Mrs. Anderson. But
San Diego should do well.
It would.
Yeah.
It would.
Yeah. San Diego, it's early a little girl, more compact. Yeah. Early Girl's another one. Yeah, those are good standbys.
And I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but Celebrity would be a good one too.
So also the San Diego and Early Girl, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it's getting time to get out of the store and get some tomatoes. You guys got them in yet?
Oh, yeah.
You and everybody else, they're there in droves.
There's 1 bazillion tomatoes in both stores right now.
Well, good. I'll be down there.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Bruce. Have a great weekend.
You guys have a good weekend. You too.
Thanks. Bye. Take care. Let's see. Now we're going to move out to El Cajon, where Ann is waiting. Good morning, Ann. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
What can we do for you?
I don't have a question. I just wanted to tell you how much I'm loving my gopher hawk trip.
All right.
You like seeing that yellow band in the morning?
I love it. Pretty much, I think maybe twice I had to move it, but every time I put it in, there's something in there. So
excellent. Congratulations.
I'm so thankful that you turned me on to the gopher hawk.
Well, good. It is a favorite. It is a favorite for many of us.
There's definitely a learning curve, but once you get, you know, once you figure out how to do it and how to put it in, and, you know, not to get impatient, you know, because a lot of times I put it in and I go out later and there's nothing there, but then the next morning the yellow band is there.
Yep, I think the longest I've waited was 5 days, and it wasn't because I was being extra patient. I was just lazy. I hadn't gone down to move it, but then I actually ended up with a yellow band, so it was worth the wait.
Yeah, that's all. So thank you very much.
Okay.
Well, good. Thank you.
I'm glad you're having success with it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
You want to
have a great weekend?
Yeah. Do you want to briefly try and explain the yellow band?
The gopher hawk is a gopher trap, and when you set it, this yellow band disappears while it's set, and when it's triggered, usually it would mean you would have you caught a gopher, and you can look out and see the yellow band without having to dig up and see whether you caught anything. So you see that yellow band, and there's a little bit of excitement knowing that you had a good day in eradicating gophers on your property.
If that's what you wanted to do.
If that's what you wanted to do, right.
Yes.
But if you didn't want to do that, you probably would not have
you
set it, right?
You probably would have put it
out. Correct, yeah. I think we have 6 of them out right now set. I need to go out and see if there are any yellow bands.
I have no yellow bands.
Well, we haven't had any in a couple days.
Four of my six set. I need to move some around. This will be the weekend because this is almost Saturday, so my weekend starts tomorrow. I'll be able to redeploy gopher hawks.
You're not going to go to the St. Patrick's Day parade tomorrow?
Are you? No, I'm not going. Isn't it today? Is it tomorrow? Is it on St. Patrick's Day?
It's today. I'm sorry. Yeah, it is today.
No, I'm not going to the St. Patrick's Day tomorrow. Are you parade tomorrow? Are you going, Mark?
No. I'm not going.
Are you
going
to go today?
No.
Not at all? No.
No, I'm stay home and have a Guinness.
There you go.
In honor of St. Patrick's Day. Because you're a Mahady.
That's right.
What's the origin of the name Mahady? What part of the world does Mahady come from?
That would be Ireland.
Ah, okay. Hence St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. A quick admin note. Vince, we got your note on Facebook, and thank you so much for the kind words.
Yeah, that was very nice. Very nice. Appreciate it.
I'll give him some citrus, too.
Let's see. Garden class is coming up today in San Diego at 9 o'clock. It's going to be growing herbs with Kathleen and in Poway. It's going to be healthy soil, healthy plants, and organic soil with Randy Ritchie from Malibu Compost.
You know, the more we do this, the more important having the soil environment healthy and active makes everything else so much easier, which goes to Randy Ritchie and the booze blend and the reason for his products existing and the Grow Power products and some of the organics, which I've always poo-pooed. But helping and taking care of the soil. You get a healthy, happy soil, your plants are going to do better with less effort on your part than doing it the old-fashioned way, which is just stick it in the ground and
feed the dickens out of it with chemical fertilizers.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Well,
which kills the soil.
You know who was the one that really kind of started that whole thing?
No, who?
Milo.
That's what I thought you were going to say. But Milo, I wasn't sure, so I didn't want to jump out there.
Milo Shamus, from the founder of Dr. Earth.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he wrote his... Didn't he write his dissertation
on
that?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So... he knows what he's talking about, and he really kind of revolutionized the fertilizer industry.
There's a lot of people that are building off of that, and it has become more mainstream. Well, not more. It is mainstream now.
Yeah.
and for good reason.
Mm-hmm. No, it's good.
Yeah,
it's good practice.
Well, I mean, if you look at how the plants that are thriving in nature, that's how they're thriving with all that organic material, or if it's a one of the garden plants or one of the trees that do really well in a jungle environment with all that mulch underneath it, things thrive.
It's true.
Yes, they do.
And here we spend most of our time making sure we pick up every leaf from under a tree, blowing everything out. And I can't tell you how many pictures we get on the text line that show us barren soil under people's trees.
Right.
And that has become how we garden, and we really need to get away from that.
Yes, I would agree. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back next week with another hour. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.